off the Sports Men and Women Outdoor Forum we had in April. This is a follow-up to that. We're calling it the Shooting Preserve Forum. We're going to be holding this on Tuesday, July 31st in Pierre from 1 to 5. You know, and the real intent of this is to discuss some key issues. Those key issues include challenges for shooting preserve operators, sustainable habitat. Sustainable habitat obviously is front and center with this department. It's a discussion we need to have with all constituents. Joint conservation projects and initiatives, that's something we really want to dive into. Is there things we can work together on with shooting preserve operators? Public access opportunities. You know, they do provide habitat. Shooting preserve operators definitely provide habitat, provide opportunity. Something that we'd like to do as well is continue looking at more public access and maybe some ways that shooting preserve operators might help facilitate that public access. And then lastly, recreation and respect. We talk about that a lot with non-meandered waters, but it's further than that. It goes beyond that. And we want to have that discussion with these preserve operators regarding recreation and respect. You know, 228 invitations have been sent out to the preserve operators of South Dakota. We are looking for RSVPs, and we hope that we do get some good participation and have a great discussion that day. And again, that'll be on July 31st, and we'll brief the commission during our September meeting on how that day goes. So with that, are there any questions?
Commissioners are welcome to attend that as well.
Absolutely, yes.
All right, that sounds good. Should be some good information come out of that forum. All right, trespassing issues. Morning, Tony and Andy.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Commission members, Tony Life Director of the Wildlife Division. I have with me Andy Albin, our Law Enforcement Program Administrator. The topic that we have on the agenda here was placed there at the request of Commissioner Phillips. And if it's all right with you, Commissioner, maybe I might let you kind of set the stage for the conversation that you're hoping we're going to have this morning.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Tony. The reason I wanted to bring this up and start a conversation on it, get some more information, was a number of individuals have contacted me over the last couple of years, landowners that would certainly like trespass to be taken a little more seriously. We've had some cases of, I'll call it repetitive, knowing trespass over the years. The same individuals caught trespassing in the same area two or three years in a row. In many cases, the state's attorneys haven't prosecuted these people. They get a ticket. It's never prosecuted. They just file the ticket in a drawer and they go back and trespass again the next year. And even in cases where they are, sometimes it's a slap on the wrist and it's not enough of a deterrent to keep them from going back and trespassing on the same ranch again. We've had instances where we've caught people 2 years in a row on my place. Then the next year, somebody drops the buddy off at the river bridge and they walk in the dark. Nobody sees them go in. They come back out in the dark and it's pretty hard to catch them. Just wanted to know where we're sitting with our trespass laws, if there is such a thing as knowing trespass or repetitive knowing trespass, see if it's legislative or commission responsibility, and if it is legislative, what steps we could take to, you know, bring forward the issue to the legislature and what process that would, what process we'd use.
Good morning. I think maybe the best thing to do is kind of go over the different categories of trespass here. There's in state code, everything's found in state law, so these are legislative issues here. First category is criminal trespass, and there's essentially two types of criminal trespass, first of which would be entering or remaining in a building there. The second one would be entering or remaining on property after notice is made. And that notice can be whether it's a fence with a posting on it or actual communication to an individual there. Those are criminal trespass. Those have no effect on an individual's hunting privileges. The second one would be vehicular trespass, and that's found in Title 32 or the vehicle code. And that simply is if you're driving any type of vehicle on somebody's property that you're not privileged to be on, you're guilty of vehicular trespass. And that as well has no bearing on an individual's hunting, fishing, trapping privileges. The one that our officers deal with the most is the Title 41 or Game and Fish Code trespass. And if you are on somebody's property and hunting, fishing, or trapping and don't have permission, you're guilty of that trespass there. Now, there are two types of hunting, fishing, or trapping trespass in the sense that you make, Commissioner Phillips. There is a knowing qualifier in the penalty provisions that are found in code. So if a person is knowingly found guilty of knowingly trespass, they lose their respective privilege, whether it's hunting, fishing, or trapping, for a period of 1 year from the date of conviction. Now, if it's an unknowing case, and we all know there's situations out there that are deliberate, where somebody is intentionally trespassing, but there's also cases where there may not be very good boundary markers, fences, things like that, and it does happen that people get off property that they may have had permission on onto the wrong property, and that's what an unknowing trespass is. So that's why there's a difference in the penalty provisions there in state law with the revocation. We have ran some numbers, and from 2016 we had 181 trespass cases that our officers dealt with. 173 of those 181 pertain to hunting. So that's generally what we're dealing with there. 108 of those were unknowing cases, and 65 of those were knowing hunting trespass cases. So again, 173 cases. There were actually, what we have tabulated, 214 trespass complaints that year that came in to our officers. We keep track of things, trespass complaints, shooting too close, things like that, spotlighting, that come in directly from landowners. So that's why we have that number there. I guess another answer to your question, is there an aggravated penalty for a subsequent or additional conviction? The answer is no. We've had this issue come up in the legislature. Actually, it came up three consecutive years, 2013, 14, and 15 sessions. This issue of trespass was introduced in a couple different forms in the legislature, never passed, although in the first year it did pass one of the houses there. And some of the issues that came down to were the language of the bill. It was potentially changing the definition of hunting to try to get to what I think you're looking at there. And there were some problematic issues there, and I guess I'd categorize it as unintended consequences that related to the bill there that would have an effect on that issue there. I believe there would be some ability to create an aggravated penalty, whether it's a second or subsequent conviction of unknowing trespass, there could be something done there, or even an aggravated penalty for a second or subsequent conviction of knowing trespass. I've heard similar issues to ones that you speak of today, and we all know that sometimes when things go through the legal system, charges can get downgraded, so maybe a charge could of knowing trespass could get downgraded to an unknowing trespass, and an individual or bad actor that commits those offenses multiple times never sees that deterrent. Because I think we can all agree that, you know, fines are one deterrent, but a lot of times the pocketbook isn't what affects somebody. It's their ability to recreate and go back out there subsequently. That's the biggest hit, if you will, on some of the violators. And I think you would agree with me that we're looking to control the bad actors, the flagrant and malicious actors out there, as far as that goes. So I'd stand by for any questions.
Go ahead, Scott.
Thank you. Scott Phillips, Commissioner Phillips speaking again. Of the 65 knowing trespass violators, do we have a number that were prosecuted that went through the court system and received some kind of a fine?
Commissioner Phillips, those, I guess the answer is no. We don't have that teased out as far as those were cases that either went through and were prosecuted or were dismissed. When our officers, trespass cases are a little bit different in how our officers handle them, in the sense that it's not up to our officers to make a decision of charge or not to charge. The discretion really isn't there. A lot of times they visit with their local state's attorneys, and the state's attorney will tell them, I don't want you to even issue a ticket for these offenses. I want to issue a formal complaint. And some of that is because the landowner has to be the complaining party on this one. A lot of times our officers aren't there to witness what went on, so a lot of times formal complaints are issued. But our officers will review the information that's presented before them, and in some cases they'll issue a citation to take that into court. Other times they'll issue a case report to the state's attorney and let them make that final determination on whether or not there's probable cause to charge their trespass. Is an offense that is on the fine and bond schedule, and essentially what that is a list of common violations that officers deal with, to where the presiding judges in the courts allow a prescribed fine to be levied, and the individual does not have to make a mandatory court appearance. So as it stands right now, unknowing trespass, the fine is set at $147.50. The 50-cent thing is a new thing this year, just because of some court-mandated fees to help fund other systems. That's why it's an odd number there. For knowing trespass, it's $272.50. So there is a difference set in that fine and bond schedule there. Last thing I'll mention with the fines there is the department does have some ability to make recommendations. Hunting, fishing, trapping, trespass is a class 2 or low grade misdemeanor, to where the maximum amount that can be levied is $500 or 30 days in jail by a judge. So we have ability to potentially make recommendations to raise that amount, but again, we like to look at all violations in comparison to one another there. That happens to be where we're at now, but that doesn't mean that we couldn't make a recommendation to the judges in a subsequent year to raise those fine amounts as well. We do have that ability, just so you know.
It seems like the state's attorneys are maybe more responsible for some of these people being let off than our conservation officers. The officers are doing their job. They're just the state's attorneys are not following through in many cases. Would you agree with that statement?
Well, I would say, Commissioner Phillips, in some situations that our officers from time to time are disappointed in the outcome of some of these cases. But I'll also say that our state's attorneys carry a heavy caseload. Many times in these counties, they're the only one prosecuting cases. Some of them don't have deputy state's attorneys to assist them. So in a matter to take care of business in a expeditious manner. Sometimes cases are pled down. It's just a fact of life how things are handled.
May I?
Yes, continue.
I agree that the fines, $272 for knowing trespasses, not going to deter anybody. It's taking away their ability to recreate. If we could somehow change that 1 year giving up of your privileges to hunt to 3 or 4 or 5 years of giving up your privilege to hunt for someone who has trespassed on the same piece of property for 2 or 3 years in a row, I think that would be a deterrent much more than raising the fine from $270 to $500. I think that's the route to go, is taking away the right to recreate. And it's all legislative. It's not up to this commission. So what steps do we take to bring a bill to the legislature? Can the commission do that? Can the department
bring a bill? Or
I might turn over to Tony to present some options here.
Again, Tony Life, Director of the Wildlife Division. Commissioner Phillips, every year the department has a process that we go through to identify potential legislative issues, craft potential solutions to those issues, and then we work with our governor's office to determine which of those issues are carried forward in the form of department-sponsored legislation. You might recall from our past discussions that we've had that there's usually a few bills every year that we work with the chairs of the Ag and Natural Resources committees to introduce those bills on behalf of the department. This could be and will be one of those topics that we will have in our conversations this later on this summer and on into early fall to discuss. Now, what the outcome of that, we don't know, because it's not up to the department to decide what legislation is introduced on behalf of the department. That's a decision that's made at the statewide level in consultation with the governor's office. And this being a year of transition, we're not even sure entirely how that process will work, since of course, Governor Dugard's administration will be done when the next session starts, yet he will still be in office when we are contemplating those additional pieces of legislation. Of course, the other way that legislation can be introduced is through an individual's legislator. And if that happens, then the department has in the past been active in crafting that legislation, assisting those legislators in figuring out the right approach or getting the right answer to the issue that they're seeking resolution on. And then, of course, the department would look at each of those legislations and, again, in coordination with governor's office, decide a position on those bills. But what I can give you an assurance of is that we will put this on the list of items that we discuss as a department. And again, if it bears the weight to carry forward, or if it gets that support, then it could take that form. And in the alternative, it could be brought forward by an individual legislator.
I that would be a good route forward, I think, and I'd appreciate doing that, and I'd appreciate being included in the discussion when the bill's drafted or the discussion takes place. So thank you for doing this. I think it's just what I wanted to do.
Okay.
Commissioner Sharp.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Sharp here. I agree with a lot of Commissioner Phillips' comments on that. I think South Dakota is a friendly enough place that if you're trying to hunt and you're accidentally, 100 yards over onto somebody else's property, the landowner's probably going to understand that. But with our trespass law, I'm kind of under the impression if you're not standing on ground you own, you should assume you might be trespassing. And I think that's the troubling thing that goes on in the field when people go, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to be here. Well, do you own the land? Well, no. Well, then maybe you shouldn't be here. I mean, I think we need to get back to that and somehow work towards making it more of a like a speeding ticket, because I know it could be trespass could be such that it's like a speeding ticket where conservation officer could hand a ticket to the person and you're charged with trespass and it's a fine, that would, you know, I realize it's a legislative deal, but that would be one way to go. And after the second one, maybe you lose your license for a year. Maybe we need to create a database so if you're going out and talking to the same individual 3-4 times a year at the same spot and they keep on going, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to be here. I really believe we need to put some teeth in this because I think some of the acrimony that we have going on over non-meandered waters is the fact that in today's society, people are very willing to push the limits on what they can and can't do. And so I am glad we are taking a hard look at this, and I think we should be aggressive in getting some things changed so we eliminate some of these unknowing trespass, non-conviction type things, and get it more into a you trespass, here's your ticket type thing. So I'm glad we're going down that path, and I will monitor that along with Commissioner Phillips on how well we're doing to get that done. Thank you.
I would just comment, you know, I believe it does merit more discussion, and I know there is a considerable amount of frustration amongst landowners, and to the point where they say, what's the use? Why should I even do it? Why should I bother? Why should I call anybody? Because nothing happens. And that's kind of unfortunate because it does result in people doing it over and over again. And so I think we do need to take a real good look at trespass as an issue, you know, whether we want to take a run at legislation or how we want to approach it. But if you want a lively discussion, all you have to do is sit down in a coffee shop in one of these small towns and bring up the issue of trespass. And if there are landowners in there, they are going to let you know what they think about it. But it is frustrating to the landowner if he does see it and then brings it forward and really nothing becomes of it. So yeah, we'll take a look at it later on. Yes, Commissioner Jensen.
Commissioner Gary Jensen, so I mean the legal system really is set up so there's tremendous discretion with the state's attorney, right? I mean they're the ones that are making the ultimate decision, do we prosecute or do we not? I don't know whether there's anything that the legislature could do to force that. Maybe there is, I don't know. But my suggestion would be, in addition to working with the legislature and the governor's office, the state's attorneys associate, they have an association, they meet, and it probably would serve everybody well to go meet with that group and their leadership and have a discussion about this issue and see if everybody working together couldn't come up with some better way of approaching all this, because that, I think that discretion will stay with the state's attorney.
Mr. Chairman, yes. Commissioner Jensen, we have presented at the State's Attorneys Association before, and that's something I'll look into further, putting some numbers together and possibly getting on the agenda next winter, early spring, when they generally hold that conference. We have the ability to do that, so I'll put that on the agenda.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments? Okay, very good. Thank you. Moving on to, do you have anything else,
nope.
Tony? Okay.
Good deal.
Let's move on to number 8, deer license allocation.
I'll let you have that one.
Have Kevin join us again for those listening online, Tony Light, Director of the Wildlife